ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And in this chapter, there is a lot to talk about. Not a lot of verses, but a lot to talk about. And we need to understand what this millennial reign of Christ is all about, this thousand-year reign of Christ. And we're going to take a few minutes and look at this. There's basically three viewpoints on this, and I'll show you why I believe there's only one correct one. Some in the church hold on to amillennialism. And what that basically says is they don't believe this is a literal 1,000 years. It's a symbolic term. And they use Psalm 90, verse 4 as one of the scriptures to support that. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past and like a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:18 also says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." So because of that, they don't see this as a period of time being 1,000 years. There is no millennial kingdom. It's kind of hard to swallow that one. Satan, we're going to see tonight, is bound for those 1,000 years of the millennial reign. But they say that Satan was bound when Jesus defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary. But do you think Satan has an influence in this world today? I mean, if he's chained, he's got a really long chain, and someone needs to shorten that thing, right? I mean, because it's a mess out there. Look at the evil that's going on. You know, you can't help but grieve over what we saw happen in Texas in that elementary school, their last day of school. And you go, Lord, how evil is this nation? And they want to blame it on guns, but we've taken God completely out of the picture. And this is the result, that man does whatever's right in his own eyes, and it's not pretty. And is Satan a defeated foe? Absolutely. But he still has free will to attack God's people and try and stop the work of God. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 5:8, and this is pretty clear, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." Does he sound like he's chained during this today? No. He's roaming like a lion seeking to devour people. So that's pretty simple. And also, as we'll see in Revelation 20 tonight, the words 1,000 years appear 6 times. So if the Holy Spirit doesn't mean 1,000 years, why would he keep repeating it? You know, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And interestingly enough, in Revelation 20, verse 3, we're told of Satan, after these things, he must be released for a little while. After these 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loose for a short period of time, and we'll deal with that in our study tonight. But, you know, he's not bound now, but he's going to be for a short period of time. So, they believe that we're in the kingdom age. If this is the kingdom age, we've been ripped off, right? I mean, come on, man. Righteousness is not filling this land. You know, we long for that day. So then we have post-millennialism, and that was a really popular view before World War I kind of faded away, and it's coming on strong again. They believe in a literal 1,000 years, but they believe it's after this 1,000 years that Jesus returns. And the whole idea is Christianity is going to grow and grow until the whole world is Christian and righteousness will fill the land. And that's apart from Christ ruling and reigning. Now, at the end of that 1,000 years, Christ will come back. Again, it doesn't seem to make sense. In fact, French novelist Victor Hugo said this. He said, "In the 20th century, war will be dead. The scaffold will be dead. Hatred will be dead. Frontier boundaries will be dead. Dogmas will be dead. But man will live. He will possess something higher than all these. A great country, the whole earth. A great hope, the whole heaven." Now, yeah, that was great until when? World War I broke out, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and look at all the wars that are going on today. We see several going on, not just in the Ukraine. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. But again, this view is kind of coming back under a new label, Kingdom Now or Dominion Theology. And again, the whole idea is before Christ can come back, we have to make this a Christian world. I don't see that in the scriptures. In fact, you look at what Paul says. Paul says in Timothy that we're living in perilous times. You know, men will be lovers of themselves. Yeah, that's exactly what we see. It's an ugly period of time. And I think the one that what the scriptures point to is premillennialism. And that's what we believe here at Calvary Chapel of Manitowoc. It's a period of time where there is a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth that occurs immediately after the second coming of Jesus at the end of the tribulation period. Because it's Jesus who establishes this kingdom, not man or Christians. I think that's what the scriptures teach. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David, as he promised the Jewish people. So regarding end times, this is what we believe. Pre-tribulation, or the church is going to be raptured or called home to be with the Lord. The bride's going to meet the bridegroom before the start of the 7-year tribulation period. And then premillennialism, that the Lord is coming back to set up his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And, you know, God is going to, I mean, in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33, it says, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob." It's kind of an interesting verse, right? This has not happened yet. Jesus never sat on the throne of David, but it's coming. And I'm happy. I'm excited about that. There's a story that told to the effect that a Jew being in the company of a Christian took up a New Testament, and he opened it up to Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. And he turned to the Christian after reading that, and he asked him, "How do you understand that scripture?" And the Christian said, "Oh, it's figurative language, descriptive of Christ's spiritual reign over the church." "Then you don't take it literally?" asked the Jew. "Well, certainly not," replied the Christian. The Jew made this further remark. He said, "Then why should you expect me to take literally what precedes, where the scriptures say that the son of David shall be born of a virgin? Do you believe that literally?" "Well, surely," said the Christian. Well, the Jew continued, "Why do you accept verse 31 as literal, but explain verses 32 and 33 as figurative?" "Because," the Christian said, "verse 31 has become a fact. Jesus was so born. It's indisputable evidence." "Ah," said the Jew, "I see you believe the scriptures when you see them fulfilled. I believe them because they are the word of God." Exactly. Do you believe what God's word says? You know, many people believe before the Jews becoming a nation again said, the Jewish people, this has to be relating all these verses in the scripture to the church because God's done with Israel. There is no way they're coming back into the land. Hitler almost completely wiped them out. How could that happen? And there were a few Christian leaders who said, it's because the word of God said so. And what happened? The Jews are back in the land again, just like God said. You know, always believe what the word of God has to say. This is going to be the millennial reign of Christ. Can you imagine what that day, those days are going to be like? It's going to be a wonderful period of time. And a world filled with righteousness. I don't think there's going to be any news shows. I mean, what's the point, right? It's going to be great every day. And the environment's going to be restored like it was in the Garden of Eden. In fact, Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9 tell us, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Praise the Lord. I mean, I love the creation that God has given to us. I mean, look at these wild animals, and aren't they amazing? I mean, wouldn't you want to just go up and grab a lion? It would probably be the last thing you'd do if you did that now. But in the kingdom age, guess what, man? You'll be walking, here's this big old lion, you'll be able to pet him, a bear. lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, right? I mean, it's going to be great, and we long for that day. The last time in our study, we saw the Lord return with his bride, right, the church, and destroy the armies who gathered together to fight against him. The Antichrist, the false prophet, were cast into the lake of fire that's burning with brimstone. And now that's where we're going to pick up our study this evening, immediately after these events of Revelation 19. So let's pick up Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. John wrote this: "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." The way John wrote this, this is a chronological order or progression. After the Lord returns, after the Battle of Armageddon, these events are going to take place. Satan is going to be bound. We don't know who this angel is, but he comes down to bind Satan into the bottomless pit, the abyss. And it's not the lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet were cast. He will be placed there later on. John speaking of a place where these demonic locusts, the worst of the fallen angels, were kept until God allowed Satan to open that door back in Revelation chapter 9, that fifth trumpet. But think about this for a minute. Satan is not bound by the Lord, not even by a host of angels, not even by Michael the archangel. He's bound by a single unnamed angel. You know, we think of this big struggle between God and Satan. Satan's a created being. He can't fight against God. There is no battle. You know, we call it the Battle of Armageddon, like I said, but it's no battle at all. And here God says to this angel, go down, bind him, bind Satan, put him in the bottomless pit. And he does. It's not even hard. And what happens with all the other demons or these other fallen angels during this period of time? It's possible, and we're not told here, but something's got to happen to them, right? We're not told that they're cast into the lake of fire yet. So what happens with them? Maybe they're cast with Satan into this bottomless pit because they're not around during the millennial reign of Christ. They can't be. Isaiah 24 verses 21 and 22 say, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished." So as you read that, it seems like the kings of the earth will be punished differently than the host of exalted ones, or I believe these demonic beings. Those on the earth will go to a temporary holding place, Hades or Sheol, until the great white throne judgment. And these fallen angels, I believe, are going to be locked in the bottomless pit with Satan until the kingdom age is over. They're loosed for a season, and it's going to be a very short time, and we'll see why in a few minutes. Now, if these demonic forces were around during the kingdom age, they could influence man. So I don't see that happening. They have to be locked up as well. And Satan deceives people. What do you think his demonic forces are doing? They're deceiving people today as well. Look at verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Notice how John starts out here. He says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them." You know, okay, who's seated on those thrones, right? Who are these people that are seated? Well, we don't have to guess. John tells us these are the tribulation saints who were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, beheaded. This is the last group of saints that I believe will sit on the thrones and reign with Christ in his kingdom. And it's interesting, you know, the Greek word for beheaded can mean exactly that they were beheaded for their faith. Very possible that's what we're going to see happening during this tribulation period. But it also has a broader meaning than just being beheaded. So martyrdom in many different ways. Is beheaded part of being beheaded part of it? I think so. These are the souls that we saw under the altar put to death because they refused to renounce the Lord and bow the knee to the Antichrist. And, you know, even today we see our brothers and sisters, many being put to death for their faith. Paul warned us in 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's just the reality, guys. We haven't seen anything really like that in this country yet. People make fun of us, they mock us, they call us names, but that's, I don't really see that as persecution. I see that growing. And I'll tell you, when you believe what God's word has to say, understand persecution's going to come. It's just a reality. And I see others who are going to reign with Christ besides these martyred tribulation saints. I think the Old Testament saints, Daniel 7:27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Also the apostles, Matthew 19:28, Jesus made this promise. Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's another group. New Testament saints who are also promised to reign with the Lord in his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall reign with him. Revelation 2:26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And lastly, Revelation 5:10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So there's several groups of people that are going to rule and reign in the kingdom age. Look at verse 5 here in Revelation chapter 20. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So John starts out here by speaking of the dead and that they did not live again until after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And he's speaking of all the unbelieving dead throughout the ages. John just finished speaking about the tribulation saints and how they're going to reign with the Lord. Then he says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Two groups of people, the tribulation saints who were martyred for their faith and these that have rejected God, and they are going to be judged after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They're awaiting in Hades or Sheol until the final judgment. As we read on, we're told, blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. In verse 5, it spoke of a judgment of unbelievers with the first resurrection. In verse 6 here of Revelation 20, this first resurrection is talking about a blessing. How can that be? Well, we have to understand, remember, both believers and unbelievers are going to be raised from the dead, right? They're going to get resurrection bodies. Some to everlasting life to be with the Lord, some to everlasting judgment, separation from God in the lake of fire. So yeah, here in Revelation 20, verse 5, it's speaking of unbelievers being raised from Hades or Sheol to come before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. And we'll look at that more as we read on here tonight. Now, for believers, the first resurrection, we tend to think of a day, right? This is when it took place. It's not speaking of a specific point in time. It's a period of time that began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. So this includes believers who died before the rapture and those who were caught up to be with the Lord at the rapture. Now we see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 14, Paul wrote, For we believe if Jesus died, or that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 17, Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So we are going to be with the Lord forever. Also includes those who were martyred for their faith, as I said before, in Jesus during the tribulation period. Revelation 20, verse 4, we saw it. I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Not only that, it's not just believers and these tribulation saints, but I believe it's also Old Testament saints who believed in the coming Messiah but died before he came. So here's this first resurrection includes a great group of people, big group, believers throughout the ages, all true believers, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, tribulation saints are part of this first resurrection. What's the second resurrection or death? What is that all about? Jesus spoke about this, two resurrections really, in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. He said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So these two events are separated by a period of time, and the second resurrection, or this second death, speaks of eternal separation from God. And again, we're going to deal with that with the great white throne judgment. All unbelievers are part of this second death. Here's the way you can think about it. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. If you're born twice, you're going to die once. What do I mean? If you're born into this world and have not come and received the gift of life, you're going to die a physical death, and you're spiritually dead, causing you to be eternally separated from God. You're only born once. But if you're born twice, born into this world, physical birth, but also spiritual birth, you're only going to die once, physical death. You see the difference? That's why, you know, Jesus said you must be born again. What does that mean? It means our spirit's dead. Dead to the things of God. It happened when Adam sinned. Sin separated us from God. But now Jesus Christ has come and cleansed us from our sins. And now that spirit is made alive again. We're born again. What a blessing. Look at verse 7 here in Revelation 20. "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison." Are you kidding me? Right? Yeah, come on. What is that about? John says, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured. Here's a question I'll throw out to you after you've just heard what's going on here in these. Why in the world does God let Satan out of the prison he was locked in for 1,000 years? And probably, I believe, his demons also. And cause this paradise that man was living in to become violent again, at least for a short period of time? That's a great question. And the answer is simple when you start to think about it. Remember, at the end of the tribulation period, there are going to be those who came to Christ during the tribulation period that will enter into the kingdom age. They weren't martyred for their faith. During that 1,000-year reign, they will have children. There could be billions of people born during this period of time, and they will have to make a decision for or against Christ. You see, the ones that made it through the tribulation period that came to Christ already made their decision. But now those born during the millennial reign, they haven't had an option, right? It's only been Jesus. And God always gives people a choice to serve him or to serve Satan. That shows love. If there is no choice, there's no real love. That's the only thing I could do is love God. I have no other choice. I mean, what did God do? Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, God said, every single tree in this garden is for you, except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't partake of that, because when you do, you will die. The physical death process will begin and you will die spiritually speaking. And what happened? Adam partook of the tree and he spiritually died. He had a choice. to love God. He walked in the garden with God. Now he has a choice to obey God. God said you could have everything but the one tree. One tree. Out of all the trees in the garden, what did Adam do? Which one was that again? Do you have a map showing me which one? And he partook of it. Man's heart is evil. And can you imagine? Some of these people lived with the Lord, were there on the earth for 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, maybe 700 years or more, were with the Lord. Here comes Satan, and they go, hey, let's listen to this guy. Let's follow him. Rebellion is the heart of man. You know, you probably heard the story about the little boy.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.